Betfair are on your side this autumn racing. Imagine what you could be buying instead. From the sporting capital of Australia. It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning. Sarah Ollie, Will Rawson, and Ryan Warren. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
An absolute scorcher across Victoria today, 39 degrees. However you're keeping cool, be it at the beach, the pool, or sitting in front of your AC, absolutely blasting it. Spend the next 2 hours having some fun with us here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. I'm Ryan Warren, aka Rabs. Hello, Will Ralston.
Morning, rabbits. Yes, I'm flat as a biscuit. Yes. I'm a card-carrying Lions fan, and I just cannot believe what unfolded last night. But I'm happy for... No, I'm happy for Carlton.
Yes.
I'm happy for Harry Mackay. Yeah, I'll pretend to be at the very least. And I just heard that Travis Kelce's on his way to Singapore, so
yes.
That's cheered me up.
It is.
It's not all bad news. And Sarah Ollie, good morning to you. Your Swans were very good on Thursday.
They were. It does feel like a lifetime ago, Will and Rabs, but we will unpack that a little later in the show because, of course, some big outs in that engine room. It was always going to be intriguing to see how they'd come up against the might of Max Gawn, Christian Petrarca, Jack Viney, Clayton Oliver, but the Cygnets, they stood up. But how are you, Will? Because you could have been forgiven for going to bed at halftime last night. Your side were 46 points up. And then the unthinkable happened.
It really was unthinkable. And then in the second quarter, you could see the tide starting to turn and then just an avalanche in that third quarter. Charlie Curnow, when you get him
going
and at ground level, is so sharp. And then... yeah, just a devastating, devastating night for a Brisbane Lions supporter, particularly with the injury to Kitty Coleman. It's just it's the worst possible start to a season I think you could imagine.
Well, we've got a massive show for you this morning on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Harry Perryman from the GWS Giants not playing tonight against the Pies, but he will join us after five. The Premiership Whisperer, Neil Balm, is also going to join us, and Abby Holmes as well.
Tell you what, didn't Carlton kick off their 2024 campaign in style last night? 13-8-86, defeating the Brisbane Lions by the thinnest of margins, 12-13-85, a one-point win, and this is how it all went down.
Half-time at the Gabba sees the Brisbane Lions with a 31-point lead. Grips over the top, Charlie Curnow, the snap around the corner. Perfect start for Curnow.
Charlie's there, he's running hot. You can't stop Chuckles when he gets in this type of action.
Cottrell back to Fantasia. This is the subs, come on. Jack Carroll's got it. Fogarty back to Cottrell. Cover in front. And Harry Mackay slotted it home.
Siren. Carlton come from 46 points down. They come from way out in the clouds to snatch a one-point win.
The most unlikely of victories, particularly given the Brisbane Lions were undefeated at that fortress, the Gabba, last year. As Mark Howard alluded to, 46 points in arrears.
Crazy.
The Blues looked like perhaps they were going to get overrun, that this was almost going to be a bit embarrassing for them. But they absolutely stunned the Lions. I think Charlie Curnow really got them going. He kicked four goals either side of halftime and I guess ignited them. Well, you just took the cans off listening to those highlights there, of course.
Yeah.
You are a Lions fan.
Yeah.
What did you make of it? What happened to your side last night? Because for so much of the game, it looked like they were in control.
Yeah, complete control.
And it all kind of fell apart in that third term.
It's really hard to put your finger on, isn't it? I think the headline today is Carlton, though, because as you said, 46 points up there, a team that has not lost up there for 26 straight games. It's a team that very rarely gets blown away in any quarter at any point. We saw Carlton get up by 30 points in that prelim last year, and that felt very odd. And then they managed to do it again. And we were saying off air before that Michael Voss, with his teams, has this ability to have these big comeback runs and these big bursts of energy, which we've seen with Carlton in the last 12 months. So a very impressive win. And it's hard to put your finger on who the best performers were in the middle, Rabs. It was kind of a very good team performance from
it
the
It was,
boys.
Yeah. Cripps was good, not great. Cherrill was good, not great. Hewitt was very good. Again, not great. It was just a great team performance. I'll tell you, you'll be very happy this morning, is the AFL. They brought round zero to the Northern States in Sydney, New South Wales and Queensland. And for Carlton to go up there and beat Brisbane for the first time in 26 games at the Gabba was remarkable. Did you see the big group of
the Blues
Brothers
fans?
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky enough to be up there for the prelim last year. And the travelling Carlton fans are something else. It is incredible to watch. And yeah. It is awesome for the AFL that Carlton are up and about early as well.
Yeah.
Can I just say as well, this win was without Sam Walsh, Jacob Wiedering, Jesse Motlop, who's been their most outstanding performer this preseason. Jack Martin, of course, no Jack Silvani the whole year. And Elijah Hollins is still serving this suspension. So they were down more than one soldier and some pretty critical soldiers as well when you think of Wiedering in that back line. And Sam Walsh, who's arguably their best player as well. So it was pretty incredible. But how about the performance from a friend of yours, Will?
Yes.
Big Harry Mackay. We know he's had his goal-kicking issues, but Rabs, he kicks the sealer and really he looks to have found his groove.
He does. And this is Michael Voss talking about Harry Mackay post-match.
He took his moment and he wanted it. As like when you find yourself in those situations, you want guys who want the ball in their hands, and he well and truly presented that way the whole night. I get a bit sick and tired of hearing the nitpicking, to be honest with you. Sort of a bit over it. We can be better than that. And he's been in some unbelievable form, and I just think we should be talking about that.
So 3-1 to Harry Mackay, which is great, and 4 to Charlie Kerner, who turned the game on its head in that third quarter as well.
Yep. So I'm very lucky to do a podcast with the Mackay twins on the Listener app, the Ben and Harry podcast.
So you can confirm that there's two of them.
This, I have been in the room multiple times.
Could be some like fancy mirror work happening in the podcast studio, though.
Clever impersonator.
Yeah.
But there has been so much speculation on his kicking routine and so much focus on it. And last year was a year to forget for Harry. He would admit that. But I think it is so good to see all the work he's put in. And we spoke about it on the podcast. And here is Harry speaking about some of that work he's done in this most recent off-season.
Essentially, I got like a little step just before I kick, which I'd always known I had. And I really hated watching myself kick because I knew I had this little step. But
like immediately before you.
Yeah. And so it was really cool. So with the data, you could see like your momentum would build up and then I'd take this little step and all your momentum would drop and then you'd try and chase it again. And I've been doing that since I was basically a kid. So over the summer, I've been trying to undo that because really it was, I guess, killing your momentum. So the consistency of your kick was going to be up and down depending on that step a bit. So, yeah, it was really cool. Very tricky to try and unwire something that you've been doing for years and years. But, yeah, definitely made some good progress on that. I'm talking with Ash a lot and always say, like, it's still going to be some, like, teething issues with it, but you're going to be better tomorrow than you were today with it because you're undoing and you're laying down new kind of patterns in the way you kick. So it's been really exciting to go after something technically, I guess. And, yeah, we're looking at it from, like, the next 10 years. Like, this is going to help over the next 10 years as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, there'll be some transfer straight away, which has been really great, and even at training, but knowing that this is going to be really good for the long term.
That's Harry Mackay talking about his new kicking routine on the Ben and Harry podcast, which you can grab every Tuesday on the Listener, right?
And good on him, because it's one thing having your own mental demons, but his are on display in front of everyone week in, week out.
Quickly popping over to Christchurch, the Aussies are 6 for 189, leading the Black Caps by 27 runs in the first inning. So we look like we are in control. Marnus Labuschagne is the man on 75. So fingers crossed he can get to triple figures because he's at a bad run of form. But we are joined on the line by Channel 7's Abby Holmes, who was in Brisbane last night. And Abby, congratulations on being an All-Australian selector for the first time this year.
Good morning, guys. Great to be with you. I apologise in advance if there's a few flight announcements because I am currently in the lounge in Brisbane. But yeah, an incredible honour. When Laura Kane rang me and asked me and said, oh, I can give you some time to think about it, I was like, I do not need to think about it. It is a privilege to be on the panel with some ripping people as well and you know, play a big part in what we all love to see in our All-Australians getting presented those jackets. It's really special.
And Abs, there's a fair few responsibilities, not just the squad and team, but Mark of the Year, Goal of the Year, and I believe also the Rising Star Award. So you're going to be very busy on top of all your gigs you've currently got going with 7 and Triple M too.
Yeah, look, if I wasn't watching enough footy already, it's exciting, isn't it? I'm so pumped that footy's back and the added responsibility, of course. I was a selector for the Rising Star last year as well, but to be the one that kind of makes the ultimate decision with a group of people, as I said, it's a pretty cool thing to be a part of, and I can't wait to get stuck in.
Abs, we just spoke about last night's game. You were there for Channel 7 at the Gabba. Paint the picture for us post-siren. Blues fans with the ecstasy. You were chatting to Zach Williams and Orazio Fantasia. Paint the picture for us post-game.
Incredible. We knew coming in that the Lions just simply don't lose at the Gabba, yep. do they? They won all 13 home games last season. They were on a 14-game winning streak at that venue. But when that final siren went, I'm particularly going to give a big shout out to the Blues brothers and sisters.
Yes.
I went and sat with them at three-quarter time.
Fun.
And they were just, you know, enjoying every single moment of that. And for the Blues to come back from 46 points down, it just shows how far that group of people have come, that group of players, those athletes, you know, the mental side of being 46 points down as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, at the end of the game, firstly, speaking with Charlie and Harry, just the pride that you could see in Charlie's face of how Harry did stand up in that moment when his team needed him, when his footy club, when the supporters, everyone needed him. And he nailed that goal. So that was really special. And then Zach Williams, Orazio, as you said, incredible stories. Mm. We haven't seen them at AFL level for quite some time, 18 months for Zach. And, you know, him going through an ACL rehab, yes, but also going through the passing of his beautiful sister, Sammy. Like that's something that no one should have to go through. And for Orazio, sitting on 99 games for so long, only the 4 games across the last 2 seasons, really, really special to see him reach the 100 games and to go and get it in that fashion. It was pretty cool.
I imagine in the Lions rooms, Abby, it would have been very different. And then the injury to Keedy Coleman has just been the biggest news story out of the game from a Brisbane perspective. Do you have any insight into that this morning? Because Chris Fagan thinks it might be worst case scenario.
Yeah, look, when it happened, it looked terrible, didn't it? But in my mind, and Nick Brown, the media manager for Brisbane, just said it looks like a hyperextension of the knee. But post-match, I think we were all shattered. And Fags, you could see it written all over his face when he mentioned those 3 little letters, the ACL.
Not good.
You know, they have copped a few over the last few years, so it is devastating if that is what it is. Of course, Kitty will get his scans today and we'll find out more. But he is so important to that Brisbane team. He's a rising star. There's no doubt about it. And, fingers crossed it's not, but it's not looking good, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we saw how important he was, particularly in the first half of that grand final getting Norm Smith votes. We're speaking to the newest All-Australian selector in Abby Holmes. Abby, I'm just wondering, just more generally for the season, how are you reading it here? I'm looking at your Brownlow prediction and you've got Adelaide's skipper, Jordan Dawson, whom I love as well. And you think if Adelaide are going to make the 8 this year and indeed give it a red hot crack, he's going to have a pretty big say. What do you feel about the Crows?
I'm pumped for them. I think last year, finishing 10th, yes, but we all know what happened in that Sydney game. If they win that one, they go on to roll West Coast the following week and they're in the 8, they're playing finals. Mm. But you look at their games last year, they were matching it with the best teams in the competition. They lost to Collingwood twice, yes, but by a combined total of 3 points. Mm-hmm. They matched it with the Premiers. I just think they've got such a great blend of youth and experience now. Losing Phil Thorpe certainly hurts them in their forward half, but I just think the Crows are going to win enough games this year and Jordan Brownlow Dawson, as I'm rolling
I like it.
He's going to play a really big role in those wins and throughout the season. And he's just a sensational leader. I spent some time with him at the Captain's Day for Toyota. And, he's just a ripper human and he's a sensational leader for that football club. So looking forward to seeing what he and the Crows can produce and hopefully play some finals footy.
You mentioned you're at the airport flying back to Melbourne. What's on for the rest of the weekend? You and Keegs rolling the sleeves up with the renovation of the new house.
Oh, it's pretty hot.
Oh, no. No, look, footy season's upon us. So I've actually gone from Sydney to Brisbane. I'm going back to Sydney to go to the showgrounds tonight. Which obviously another preliminary final rematch between Collingwood and the Giants. So I can't wait to get there.
Yep.
Dale Thomas is just rolling into the lounge now as we speak.
So nice.
He's on our coverage tonight, which I'm pumped for. Back to the footy for me.
It's great to see you back on our screens, Abby. Thanks so much. Congratulations for the All-Australian selection nomination, I should say. And thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. 3 legends, 1 show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Sarah, Rill and Rabs for your Saturday morning. It's already 28.2 degrees across Melbourne and Victoria today. It's going to get to 39 degrees.
Jeez.
That's hot. So make sure you stay safe and keep yourself cool. And we want to know now, 133353, what are your cool hacks? So obviously not everyone has a pool, not everyone has a little sprinkler they can run around. That's we want to know how you are keeping cool today. If you're sitting in front of your AC, I've got a little cool hack for you. I actually stole it off Zoe out there who's looking after the show today. She sprays herself with a water gun and then sits in front of a fan, which is incredible to keep yourself cool on a 39 degree day. Sarah, have you got any?
I've got plenty. My first one is, have a friend with a beach house.
Oh, smart.
Mooch off your friends that are in better places than you. Because, I mean, today, having a lovely dip in the ocean, nothing better. Or a friend with a pool, as you say, Raps. Yeah. For me, I don't have that luxury. I do have the AC unit, though, and I have to admit that sometimes on a very hot day, I will just sit in front of it sometimes with a blanket on.
I like what our friend Jay is doing. He's, of course, our boss here at Triple M.
Yep.
And he's taken the opportunity on this 39-degree day to go to the movies. He's seeing Dune 2, which is just about the coldest place on Earth. And I think I would recommend that, particularly going to see Dune, which is a great movie.
Is it a long movie?
It's about 2.5. Yeah. So you can really settle in.
Getting
and maybe just
bang for your buck.
Spot of shopping afterwards. But yeah, it's going to be a stinker.
Stinker, 39 degrees. So give us a call, 133353. We have a double pass, in fact, 4 tickets for you to go to the All-Star Mile next weekend.
Matt from One Turner South, how are you keeping cool on this hot, hot day?
Hey, good day, folks.
G'day, Matt.
G'day, Matt.
Good morning.
Best thing I've found and the cheapest, easiest way, you know those elastic head wraps that people wear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, just wet one of those and sit it around your neck.
Around your neck?
Guaranteed keeps you cool.
Yeah, okay. That's a variation on doing that with like a tea towel. I do that occasionally. I like it. I like it, Matt.
And nice, you can even get like a nice one and make it look like a bit of a Matt Preston look.
Oh, like a cravat.
A cravat.
Oh, nice. A nice wet cravat. I like that. Dripping down your front.
Oh, very good, Matt. Thank you.
How
for
are you
that.
Keeping cool today, Sarah?
Well, I've actually got a wedding down the coast and it's a garden wedding.
Ooh.
So I'm hoping there's some shade. So it's going to be pretty hot. 230 people. Down Mornington Peninsula way.
230?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, that sounds really brutal.
So,
I don't want to trade.
I'm hoping that, like Zoe, there's some spray guns and some misting fans to keep us all cool.
You need a mister.
What about you, Will?
I think it's a Zupa Dupa day.
And oh,
I
don't often
crack them out. Absolutely.
I think it's my first stop when I go home after this.
The emergency Zupa Dupa
dash. Yeah. Honestly, like if I'm going to be in a backyard at a baby shower soon, and I'm really starting to grow concerned. We've got Kirsty on the line from Werribee. What's your cool hack, Kirsty?
Running through the sprinkler with the kids.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Classic.
The classic.
It is.
Yeah. How often do you pull out the sprinkler? Is it once a week every year, or is it fairly often with the kids?
Oh, not that often because I haven't been hot enough.
Yeah.
It is a good point.
That's an Aussie classic, isn't it? Just running around like as a kid. Jumping through the sprinkler, and you'd get hyped up, wouldn't you?
It's such simple fun. I guess it's good for the parents as well, because as you say, you go pretty bunter as a little kid running through the sprinkler, and then you sleep pretty well that night. So it's probably a win-win for everyone.
It is. I'm making the Mercy Dash up to my sister's house in Mansfield, just spending the entire long weekend in the pool.
Oh, that sounds divine.
It does. Yeah, it does.
Just shrivel up like a prune.
I'll prune right up.
Zupa Duper in the pool. That'd be nice.
Oh, thanks, Kirsty. You have won 4 tickets to the All-Star Mile Race Saturday, the 16th of March, which is next weekend. Caulfield Racecourse. Visit mrc.racing.com for more info.
And we have just received breaking news. Have you seen this, Sarah? I've got it flashing on
what
my
is
screen
the breaking
here.
News?
Sam Edmonds.
Sam Edmonds has confirmed that Kadeem Coleman last night for the Brisbane Lions has ruptured his ACL.
Oh, that is such a shame.
It's unlikely we will see him for the 2024 season, which is a devastating blow for the Brisbane Lions. Yeah. Absolutely devastating on the eve of the season. But a lovely night in Melbourne last night, Rabs, and a good win for the Storm.
Unbelievable win for the Storm. Their opening round streak continues to 22 straight opening round game wins over the Penrith Panthers. They've never lost an opening game under Craig Bellamy.
That's
it is
wild.
A ridiculous stat.
Mind-boggling.
Absolutely mind-boggling. And to do it against the 3-time straight premier in the Penrith Panthers was incredible. This is the try to Remus Smith.
Great kick and a big leap here. Touchback and Remus Smith busts out of the tackle.
Incredible. They won 8-0. So it was a great defensive performance from our Melbourne Storm. They were just incredible. Absolute shutout. This is the final moments as called by Dan Ginnane.
The Melbourne Storm have scored just 8 points against the three-time defending champions, and it's enough for a famous win. This is a club that has been successful for its entire 26-year existence, but there have been wins rare like this. All guts.
And to do it without their star player in Cameron Munster was incredible as well.
Amy Park sounds like it was rocking last night. Absolutely. Ryan Pappenhausen, so good to see him back. Yeah. Pappenhausen.
Yes.
And the first game as captain for Harry Grant. We've got Chris on the line from Moorabbin. Big Storm fan, I believe. Chris, were you there last night?
Absolutely. Well, how up and about am I today and all of us down in Melbourne?
Chris, did you try to ring through at about 10:03 as well to get on the show?
Not so much to get on the show, more so to get up the news reporter for not getting us into the sport report there.
No, mate, we are massive Melbourne Storm fans here. An incredible night. What was the atmosphere like at Amy Park?
Insane. It was like we'd won a grand final. It was just getting bigger and bigger. It was massive last night. And with that defensive effort we put in, I've never seen like that before.
Unbelievable. And Chris, so we have Sarah here, and she has a troubling admission to make.
Well, I've got a confession to make, Chris. I've actually never been to watch the Storm in the flesh, and I think that's a real slight on my character as a sports-loving Melburnian. So I think I'm going to have to get there this year. I think they're going to show me a good time, aren't they, Chris?
Absolutely. Come up to Section 38 with us in the general admission area. Join right in with us. But I've got an admission myself. I'm a born and bred Victorian too. Never, ever been to an AFL match.
Oh, wow.
That is unusual.
On its head.
Hard to avoid.
Yes. Well, the Storm play at home next week against the New Zealand Warriors, so that could be a good opportunity for you next Saturday
night.
So
Section 38, am I right, Chris?
Section 38, aisle 34. Yep, come and join us.
That is detail. Thank you.
There's going to be flags and the drums. You'll be riding the atmosphere with us.
Wow.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling through, Chris. Have you been Will in a Melbourne Storm?
Yeah.
It is an incredible show.
Yeah. And Amy Park is such a good venue.
Amy Park's great venue. The AFL, we love. We all love AFL. They do fluff around a little bit. With the Storm, they run straight out of the sheds, is what they call, straight to the position. The hooter goes off. The game starts. Half time they go in. It's about 15 minutes. Come back out. The whole thing is 2 hours. It is non-stop action. Yeah. You have to go.
Well, it's like an AFLW length then, if it's around 2 hours, which I'm quite a fan of. What's the vibe like, Rabs, compared to an AFL game?
Similar. Like, there's always action going on. There's always noise. But the crowd is pretty much all Storm. So when you go to an AFL here, it can be 50-50. It can be 40-60, 30-70. Yep. It's pretty much 90 to 100% Storm at Amy Park. And they've got the most members in the NRL. And it's pretty much always a sellout. It is such a good show.
All right, well, we have to get there.
It helps as a team that's almost never been bad in the history of its entire existence. So the Melbourne Storm, what a juggernaut.
Well, you can guarantee one thing. Go round one next year and you'll see a win because the Storm just don't lose.
I'll go and I'll be the one to break the illustrious run.
No, don't say that.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
Averting our eyes across the Dutch to Christchurch. It's heartbreak for Marnus.
No.
Unfortunately, a screamer. He has just been dismissed by a wonderful Glenn Phillips catch off the bowling of Tim Southee, which means that the Aussies are 8 for 221. We lead at lunch by 59 runs with 2 wickets remaining. Here is that grab of Marnus's wicket.
Well, I noticed he hasn't been able to hit the same delivery through the onside. You've got to be a bit more careful. Oh, edging, gone! He did, he went after one outside the off stump, had a little fiddle, and that's a beauty for the Black Caps and so desperately needed.
Careful. I love that accent.
Careful.
90 for Marnus. Yeah. Obviously, we would have loved to see him ton up, but also nice to see him find a bit of form because along with Alex Carey, there's been some serious question marks over the batting. So nice to see Marnus find a little bit of form across the ditch. Two big games coming up in the AFL today. The first, it's the Suns and Richmond. And then at 7:30 p.m. at the newly named NG Stadium, It's a preliminary final rematch between the Giants and the Pies. And joining us to speak all about it is Harry Perryman.
We're the Greater Western Sydney Giants.
Slick little one back to Perryman. Perryman four. Around the body. He's kicked four.
Perryman winds up.
Right kick.
Beautifully. And nails it from 50.
Very clever work from Harry Perryman.
We're the biggest and the best.
Harry Perryman, welcome to Dead Set Legends. Just off the top, Miss Scusi, when did you kick four goals?
It feels like ages ago, that highlights, but I think I kicked four back in 2020 during that COVID year, so everyone kind of forgot about that one, but that's all right.
Absolutely love it. Now, of course, a massive game coming up for your club today at 7:30 p.m., the preliminary final rematch, but you won't be there. You're watching from the sidelines. How is that hamstring of yours?
Yeah, it's going well. Had a solid training run this morning just here at the club with a few of the injured boys. So that's all coming along nicely. So I'll just be perched up tonight watching the boys go to work. So I'm looking forward to it.
Such an exciting year last year, Harry. Just came from the clouds, did your Giants all the way to a prelim. A lot more hype coming into 2024. Internally, how has the club handled that? And what are your expectations, do you think, so far as we're poised to launch this season?
Yeah, it's certainly a bit of a different feel this year. Last King is coming in last year with a whole new system game plan, so we took a while to adjust to that. But yeah, this year there's certainly a bit more expectation on us, but that's a good thing. We like to think that is a good thing. If there's more expectation, it means more people are watching you, and you're obviously going a lot better. So we're looking to go a couple more steps further this year for sure.
Speaking of your coach, Adam Kingsley, I am genuinely curious, does he bicep curl with the rest of the team? And do you think he would have the top bicep curl at the club?
Yeah, he loves it. He's always in the gym before we rock up to train, and then he's always there after training. We had a beach session a couple of weeks ago during pre-season, and we did a bit of wrestling in the sand, and he was in there wrestling with a few of the boys. So he loves it.
You won't, unfortunately, be playing tonight, but Harvey Thomas will make his debut for the Giants and his AFL debut. Tell us a little bit about Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey's a ripper. He's a country boy from Wagga, so I've had a bit of a connection there with him, so it's great to see him come through the Giants Academy. And then he's obviously had a strong pre-season up here, and he's just a great kid, hard runner, works hard, and great skills left and right foot. So, he'll slot in nicely on that forward flank.
So he's from the Riverina as well. So many sporting stars have come from that area. What's in the water in the Riverina?
Well, I think there's not much else to do except to play football and cricket. So I think that's why there's a fair few down there.
We're speaking to the Giants, Harry Perryman. Hey, Harry, it's nice to see that Aaron Cadman, the former number one pick, has been named in the side. By all reports, he's had an absolutely fabulous preseason. We saw in that match, the preseason game against the Swans, that he booted four. Just what does Aaron Cadman's summer look like, and should Giants fans be getting excited by this forward?
Yeah, 100%. He's had a great summer, Cads. He's put on a bit of size. He's covering the ground really well. So he showed glimpses last year, and he's got another preseason under his belt. So he's looking confident, and I know he's ready to go. So we're looking forward to seeing how he goes for sure.
That's one end of the ground, but I'm just in love with the back seven at the Giants. It's one of the strongest in the league, and we all know how important that back seven is to setting up a premiership tilt. What is it about the back seven? Because you guys are just gelling so beautifully, and we saw that towards the end of last year.
Yeah, it is a good group. We've got a couple of good boys down there that are in good form, and they're only young as well. And they're only getting better, so I love playing down there with them boys. You know exactly what you're going to get each week, so that's all you can ask for on a back one. And we've also got a few boys coming through the VFL that are putting pressure on spots. So, we're in a good position down there, which is good.
Focusing on the Pies, Harry, so obviously that classic preliminary final last year, and then we saw Mason Cox effectively call your home ground a cow paddock or something to that effect. And then your CEO, Dave Matthews, has fired a few barbs back at the Pies. Is there genuinely a little bit of spice in this one? Do you not like Collingwood more than any other club?
There's always a bit of fun banter between the two clubs, but yeah, we've obviously got a lot of respect for the way they go about it, and they're a quality side, so it's always fun for a bit of banter and build it up. So, we're looking forward to having a crack at them and getting one back on them for sure.
So you are not playing tonight because of that hamstring, but will you be back next week for the North Melbourne game, mate?
Yeah, I should be good to go. I got through a good session this morning with the boys up here in Sydney. She's pretty hot, so I was blowing, but Yeah, should be right to go next week.
And just before we let you go, Harry, Toby Green, your skipper, the All-Australian skipper last year, he's now a dad with baby Isla. Congratulations to Toby and Georgia. Have you noticed anything different about Toby since he's become a father, or is it the same old Tobes?
It's the same old Tobes, that's for sure. He's one of those blokes that he'll never change the way he is, and that's why we love him as skipper and we love him around the club. But, yeah, he reckons he hasn't been getting much sleep the last few weeks, but he's adjusting well to that, and I think everything's going good alone for him.
Yeah, I think I heard him say during the week that sleep is overrated anyway, Harry. But best of luck watching from the sidelines. It's set to be a cracker. The Giants taking on the reigning premiers Collingwood, 7:30 p.m. tonight at NG Stadium. Harry Perryman, thank you for joining us on Dead Set Legends.
Too easy. Thanks for having me on.
Harry Perryman there. Absolutely love having a chat to a good country boy, isn't he? And he reckons, Brabs, that he will be right to go come round one against the Kangaroos.
I love that he said he'd be perched up tonight watching the game. What a legend.
Really painting a picture there.
On Thursday night, it was the Swans by 22 points over Melbourne in the season opener.
A sold-out crowd at the SCG. The umpire holds the ball aloft and we are ready to go. Off by hand to Florent, has some room with a running banana from 50. What about that for a way to start the season?
Still alive in the goal square for McInerney. Oh, brilliance. Right foot snap and the Swans have another.
Petrarca shielded himself away from the footy, gave it off to Bailey Fritsch, who snaps on the left and finishes. Here comes Petrarca, straight out of the middle, all class.
It might just break here for the Swans. They're out in front of goal. Right foot snap, mark it down for another. Gee, the opening night belongs to Sydney. The Swans, big winners first up.
An incredible performance from your Sydney Swans, Sarah.
It was indeed, and perhaps a bit of an unexpected one when you thought about the outs in the midfield. Skipper Callum Mills, of course, Luke Parker and recruit Taylor Adams, all watching from the sidelines. It was always going to be intriguing to see how they would go, the younger Swans in the mids, because they were coming up against some big experienced bodies, Petrarca, Viney and Oliver back in the side. But really, the duel I was looking forward to, the battle within the war, was of course that ruck battle between Brody Grundy and Max Gawn. And Brody Grundy from the opening bounce, we saw he had this tactic to kind of take the space away from Gawn. And that was something that he used throughout the match. And I think while at halftime, you could say that they broke even, perhaps even Gawn was in front. Towards the end of the game, Brody Grundy just really dominated, particularly around the ground. He had so many clearances, and I think he just reminded everyone just how good he can be, a dual All-Australian, a dual best and fairest. And isn't it funny what you can do when you go to a club that embraces you and embraces what you're about? Having said that, though, it wasn't a blemish-free day from Brody Grundy. I'm not sure if you guys saw or heard, but he went for a little swim down at Bondi, as one does when living in the Harbour City. And he had a little incident with a blue bottle jellyfish.
Yeah, saw that. His ear blew up massively.
Yeah, it wasn't a great look. And from Brody, all reports, it was rather painful.
It's absolutely the worst pain I've ever felt. So don't wish that upon anyone.
Yeah, don't wish that upon anyone. A weird enemy. Way to start your first game for the Sydney Swans. But I thought he was superb. Really liked Isaac Heaney's performance as a pure midfielder. I mean, I feel like that is a conversation that we've had ad nauseum, really, when it comes to Isaac Heaney. Do you play him half forward, forward, in the guts? I thought he was superb. What did you take out from the game, Will?
I think Heaney was far and away the best player on the ground. Started that first centre clearance in the middle, 26 touches, 13 clearances. So 13 for him, and I think it was 9 for Grundy. And I think Grundy was the headline. So pre-COVID, we've got a 2018-19 All-Australian dual best and fairest winner in those 2 years as well. Since then, it really felt like we weren't going to see that Grundy again. And now I think it's really exciting for the Swans, a really cheap recruit. And as they start their campaign to get back up to the top of the ladder where they were 2 years ago, I think he's going to be pivotal. So it's exciting.
I thought Hayden McLean was massive in the second half for the Swans as well.
After he missed that absolute
sitter. He did, but he provided a really good focal point up front for the Swans, which is something I think the D's look like they're lacking, Sarah.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a tough night for big key forwards in general. We saw Jacob Van Rooyen, who's going to be a star for the D's, I think, but He struggled. He kicked that incredible goal. But apart from that, he didn't do too much damage on the scoreboard. But yeah, Joel Amati was subbed out, you know, I think the third term, which left Logan McDonald and Hayden McLean up forward. I thought Logan toiled hard and he brought the ball to ground enough. But yeah, Hayden McLean, he really got going as the game got going. And of course, there is that huge void in the forward line with no Lance Franklin. So it will be intriguing to see as the season progresses just how that works, Rabs.
Two more games, of course, in opening round still to come. You can hear all the action on Triple M and the Listener app.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
There are a couple of footy games going on today, not here in Melbourne, but in the northern states, the first of which is the Gold Coast Suns and Richmond. And to unpack it all is senior football advisor from the Richmond Football Club, Neil Balm. Balmy, welcome to Dead Set Legends.
Oh, thank you. I was just walking down the streets of Broadbeach. I felt like Paul Simon's song. There's people.
Well, I was going to ask you, Balmy, where we find you, but you're up there. So set the scene for us. How are things feeling coming up against the Suns and, of course, coming up against a man you know very well in Damien Hardwick?
Yes, it's good fun, that part of it. We're hoping Damien does very well for every game except this one. Oh, look, it's a terrific challenge for our guys, and we've got a few of our more experienced players out, but it gives us that opportunity to play the young kids who have done pretty well in the preseason. I think there's no doubt coming up here to play these guys is a big challenge, but you know, it's all with a new coach, with Adam, et cetera. It's all part of the process. We learn every time we train and play. So, you know, I'm the world's greatest optimist. So I'm going to say we're going to win every game. But it'll be a challenge for us. But I got no doubt we'll give everything for it. And as you saw last night, anything can happen as long as you hang in the game. So, you know, we've got three new players, which is always very exciting. We've probably got another four or five younger blokes who haven't done all that much, so we'll learn a hell of a lot from this game. It's a wonderful opportunity for them, but for for Coz and Seth, etc., that to play their first game is always a fabulous thing for this. Sam Naismith, of course, which is a wonderful story given what he's been through, but he's played damn good footy, so we're really excited to have him. So, you know, it's a really positive experience no matter what happens. So obviously, the outcome is very important, but our blokes won't focus on that. They'll focus on what they have to play on, play their role, enjoy playing together, and we'll see what happens out of it.
It is a nice way to be, Balmy, to be that eternal optimist. But as you say, you're lacking some experience today. No Dusty, Skipper Nankervis, Graham Lynch, and Mansell, who I know has had a really good preseason down there at Punt Road Oval. But as you mentioned, some good news stories. Seth Campbell debuting. Jacob Kaczynski is going to take his place in the yellow and black for the first time. And Sam Naismith, this is an incredible story given the adversities overcome with the ACLs and also the personal tragedy he's had to deal with in his life with the death of his sister. What's he brought to the club, Balmy? Because I know he's a really well-liked figure around the traps, but it is incredible that he gets his chance to debut in opening round.
Well, it's fantastic because his attitude is like a 20-year-old because he's just got this marvellous opportunity to have a bit of fun playing footy again. And I think that's what the guys see in him. They go, God, anything's possible with this. I mean, he's been out of the game. Then he played VFA, but, you know, that doesn't normally take you anywhere at his age. But he's back in there with a chance, and you know he's really there in a sense to be back up for Nanky if he doesn't play, and we're hoping he plays all the time. But it's happened straight away. So because one of the tough things in footy is that as Grundy showed the other night, like you almost can have too many ruckmen because you know if we don't play them in a backup role as forward or even defence or whatever, that you probably need one all the time, and you need a second one some of the time. So it's a little bit hard for players to recognise that and to accept that in their games. So that's what probably meant why Naismith was out of the game a bit, because we got too many of them. And it's wonderful that we can give him that opportunity. And being a former ruckman, I think that's terrible. I think we should make sure they can play forward or something else to keep them in the game.
Chatting to Neil Balm from the Richmond Footy Club. Balmy, you brought in Adam Uze for this new season, which is incredibly exciting for the Richmond Footy Club. Outside of the football-specific stuff, What else has Adam brought to the football club?
He's got a lovely, balanced, calm attitude, which in the old days, coaching used to be about you get the trumpet out and tell everyone how great you are. But you don't have to do that now because you've got so many people around you, and most of it is just management and also then developing, you know, a really strong relationship with all the players and all the coaches to help, be there to help them, as well as having that great drive. They still have to have that, you know, that ridiculous drive to be absolutely elite. But within it, you've got to have the relationships and work with the players and help them when they're not quite there, et cetera, and probably forgive them when they make a mistake, which we kind of never did in the old days. And Adam's a natural for that. He's, you know, he's really pleasantly surprised all of us, I think, that he's really become so engaged so quickly, because I think deep down he's a reasonably quiet kind of, not introverted, but, you know, he's not a loudmouth, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But he's really expressed himself really well with our guys. He's fitted in straight away. So, you know, he, as he said, though, we're learning all the time, and that's part of it. But he is coaching and teaching and educating at the same time, as well as developing that good, fun relationship, which is not as easy to do as it sounds. So we're really excited about him, I must say.
Barmy, we've seen, obviously, Trent Cotchin and Jack Riewoldt, two stalwarts and big figures at the club, leave in the most recent off-season. Have there been any players that have surprised you and stepped up to fill that kind of leadership void at the club in the most recent pre-season?
Yeah, well, funny you mention that, because the way that sort of Adam has done it too, he's just encouraged everyone to start together. We've got 40-odd players, and rather than saying some old ones, some young ones, he said, OK, everyone have a go and show us what you got. And out of that, there's been a lot of unexpected leadership stuff. Mm. And it's not, you know, the big loudmouth who stands up the front and says, this is the way. It's just being prepared to help each other, being prepared to have an opinion on things. And that's what leadership ultimately is. And, you know, really, some of our kids, like, you know, Liam Baker and Jaden Short and Brody and all those blokes, have, like, they're really strong leaders. And, you know, whilst they were there before and we could see them, because of the, you know, the power of the Jacks and the Cotches for being around for so long, you didn't hear them as much.
Mm.
But it's you know, and Nank's the same. Nank's now taken on, you know, the real captain's role just with him. And whilst he's a reasonably quiet kid, he's really, you know, we've said to him, come on, you're the captain, so pick up a bit, be a bit noisier, say what you think. And he is. He's been he's fantastic. So it's really almost organically sort of grown in its own way. But that doesn't happen unless, you know, your coaches and your senior coach and the management of the football department, if they don't encourage it, it won't happen. But they have very much so. They realise how important it is. So, no, it's a good question, and I reckon we've done very well out of it.
Barmy, thank you for joining us on Dead Set Legends, and best of luck for the season opener against the Gold Coast Suns at 4:20 p.m. Eastern today.
Good on you.
Neil Baum, Senior Footy Advisor of the Richmond Football Club. What are you up to on this hot, hot day? 39 degrees. Are you staying cool or are you going to be out there in the scorching heat, Will?
Long weekend too.
Long weekend.
I've got a baby shower for my friend Star, so I'm heading there after this, which is exciting. I'll listen to The Rub on the way, of course. Michael Voss coming up next. Very exciting. Rubs, what's up for you?
I'm heading up to the high country, heading up to see my sister in Mansfield, which will be a lot of fun. What about you, sir?
I've got a wedding down the coast, so I will go for a dip tomorrow, but I got my hair did this morning, so I can't do that now.
Of course not.
It's going to be a pretty hot one for a wedding. It's a garden party, so hopefully, as some of the callers attested to, and they gave us some hacks to keep cool, there's some nice water guns and fans there, Raps.
We'll catch you next week on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
That has been another massive edition of Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Betfair. Betfair are on your side this autumn racing. Imagine what you could be buying instead.